Proverbs chapter 20. I don't know about y'all, but I have been enjoying the Wednesday night Bible study. I really have. It kind of gives me something, and I was telling Sister Geraldine, Miss Betty Jean today, it kind of gives me something that I can focus on for Wednesday night for midweek services and kind of, you know, get your mind settled on something, and you know what you're going to be studying on. If you got a subject that you would like covered on Wednesday night, please write it down and get it to me. Somebody gave me this subject several weeks ago, and we're going to tackle this subject tonight: alcoholism and social drinking. Proverbs 20, verse 1, if you're there standing as we read God's word. And I'm going to be giving you a lot of statistics tonight, a lot of scripture. So if you like to take notes, do the best you can. Amen. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. God, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, God, for the songs that have been sung. Lord, and I pray right now as we open up your word tonight, God, that you would help us out of your word. Dear God, we don't want my opinion. God, we don't want others' opinion. God, we want your word tonight. God, help your word to permeate our minds. And God, just get in our hearts and our souls tonight, God. God, you strengthen us right now through your word. And we'll praise you for all you do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I got to studying this week, I found out that studies on placebo alcohol. In other words, there was a study done where somebody thought they were drinking alcohol, but they were not actually drinking alcohol. They thought they were drinking alcohol. It said that people still often act intoxicated. They exhibit lower inhibitions, report feeling more relaxed just because they believe they're drinking alcohol. Now, if that's the case, what would the real thing do? Think about that. The Bible tells us, somebody wrote this several years ago, back in, I think, 1990. They wrote it to a newspaper. It said a member of Alcoholics Anonymous once wrote a column to Ann Landers. The following is what it said: we drank for happiness, but we became unhappy. We drank for joy and became miserable. We drank for sociability and became argumentative. We drank for sophistication and became obnoxious. We drank for friendship and made enemies. We drank for sleep and awakened without rest. We drank for strength and felt weak. We drank medicinally and acquired health problems. We drank for relaxation and we got the shakes. We drank for bravery and became afraid. We drank for confidence and became doubtful. We drank to make conversation easier and it slurred our speech. We drank to feel heavenly and ended up feeling like hell. We drank to forget and we were forever haunted. We drank for freedom and we became slaves. We drank to erase problems and we saw them multiply. We drank to cope with life and invited death. Now, you think about that. That's from somebody that knows. Listen to this. If there's an alcoholic parent, there's a 50% chance that one of the children will become alcoholic. If both parents are alcoholics, it goes up to 85%. What are we doing with our kids? Amen. What are we doing with our kids? Now, see, now there are going to be a lot of different opinions on social drinking. Some people are going to fuss and carry on and say there's nothing wrong with social drinking. But see, there's a progression of alcohol. That's one thing people don't necessarily always look at. There's a progression of alcohol. It starts off with just one beer, and then after a while, one beer won't do. And it goes to two. Then after a while, two beers won't do, and it goes to three. And see, the thing about it is, as it's progressing, you still think you're in control. And the problem is, most definitely the problem is, it's already got you, and you don't even realize it. See, the Bible not only warns about drunkenness. Now, listen to what I'm getting at. Alcohol is an addiction, and the Bible warns about drunkenness and the path that leads to drunkenness. And being a drunk don't always, nobody wakes up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to become a drunk today. It starts off slow, and it eases up. Nobody wakes up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to become a drug addict today. It starts off slow. It might start off with somebody getting a prescription. The next thing you know, it's full blown. It might start off with somebody going to a party and somebody offering them one beer or one drink. And when in a year's time, it's over. See, sin always begins small. And the Bible tells us in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. In other words, Song of Solomon is telling them, it ain't the big fox you got to worry, it's the little fox you got to worry about. It's the little things that sneak in that you have to worry about. It's the little things that you don't think can hurt you that can destroy you. My wife's got a little plaque in our bathroom. It says, wash your hands because somebody germs in Jesus are everywhere. You can't see germs, but they'll kill you. Now let's look at alcohol. Number one, alcohol has a deceptive nature. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 20, verse 1, I read, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7 says this, but they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They have erred in vision. They stumble in judgment. The alcohol deceives the mind. Alcohol lets you think you're in control. I got a thing about it, you know. I can't tell you how many times over the years, Brother Robert, that I would stop somebody for drinking. I mean, car going all over the road. And you get them out the car, I'm good. How much you had to drink? Just one. I ain't ever talked to nobody that had two. Not only does alcohol make you think you're in control, it'll make you a liar. But it lets you think you're in control, you know. You got to understand something. Alcohol, a lot of people say, well, I drink to be happy. Alcohol is a depressant. You got to understand that. Alcohol is not something that's going to lift you up. Alcohol is going to bring you down. It is a depressant. It is a deceptive drink. It will destroy you. Alcohol promises pleasure, but it hides the consequences. Y'all have heard me talk about this. You don't never see no beer commercial with somebody with a car turned upside down and the ambulance on the side of the road flashing. It's always girls in bikinis and everybody on the beach and everybody having a great time. It's deceptive. Amen. Listen to this. Roughly one half of all fatal highway accidents, which average between 50,000 and 55,000 a year, involve alcohol. Each year, alcohol on the highway results in physical injuries to 125,000 people. Somebody didn't start off that night saying, I'm just going to have one beer, you know, and everything's going to be all right. I can't tell you how many times I've worked wrecks where somebody's dead on the side of the highway and then the drunk's over there sitting on the side crying because he didn't realize that he had done that. Alcohol is involved in 15,000 homicides and suicides annually, 20,000 accidental deaths, plus one half of all auto accidents, an additional 25,000 deaths they cause. Even 40% of all pedestrians who are killed have been drinking. I got a call one night. I got a call one day when I was in Orangeburg. I was working in Orangeburg, and I got a call, said a train has run over somebody. I said, oh, Lord. You know, your mind always goes to the automatic worst. I get in there and I stop on the road and I look down to Brother Jackie and about a quarter of a mile down the track, I see the train. So I get out my car and I'm walking down there and I'm looking for body parts. guy had fell asleep drunk on the tracks. And just luckily, he fell asleep laying between the tracks and the train just ran over him. Never touched him. But think how that could have ended up. Because it's deceptive. Alcohol changes your behavior. People do things they would not normally do when they're drinking. Somebody say amen right there. I got things. Drunk drivers kill. They don't want to kill nobody. Drunk husbands beat wives and abuse children. Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you this right now. I had a cousin. I'm not going to call any names, but when we were about 25 years old, I was on the highway patrol. We were 25 years old. He got drunk one night. His wife had been cheating on him. He gets drunk one night, goes to this boy's house, and kills him and spends 25 years in prison for doing something he would not have done sober. So alcohol will destroy you. Social drinking opens the door to addiction. The Bible tells in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31 and 32, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Now I'm going to go ahead and break this down to tell you what that's talking about right there. That is talking about the fermentation process of wine or alcohol. That's the fermentation. It will move within itself. If you know anything about alcohol, if you know anything about the fermentation process, you've got to go in there. You've got to take the top off of it. You got to let it breathe. My wife said one time that her grandmama was trying to make some homemade wine in the closet. She had put some grape juice and some sugar in a plastic milk jug and put it in the closet and forgot to take the top off, and it blew up. The Bible says don't even look at it when it's doing that. Now, see, the problem ain't about, in right here, the problem's not drinking it. The problem is looking at it. I'm going to go ahead and give you a good example. Jesus said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But if you look on a woman to lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Yeah. See, the problem ain't doing the act. The problem to start with was the look. I'm going to break this down just a little bit further for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Write this down. You're going to want to remember this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And see, you got to understand that there's a starting point to drunkenness. Understand what I'm talking about. Well, it's all right to be a social drinker. It's all right to have one or two beers. No, there's a starting point to drunkenness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That be not drunk right there comes from the Greek word methusko. It's a prolonged verb to mean intoxicated. Now, when you break this down, methusko is an inceptive verb. What that means is that verb is excessive. It expresses the beginning development of something. You see where I'm going with this? The beginning development of something, or the coming into a stage of an action or condition. In other words, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 could read like this. Do not even begin the process of becoming drunk. That kills social drinking right there. See, my thing was all growing up when I was on the highway patrol, and somebody, you know, said, "Well, the Bible says, you know, don't be drunk." Well, how do you know when you get when you get drunk? Hello. You got to get there before you know you can get there. If somebody said, "Well, I tell you, it takes 10 beers to get me drunk." Well, if you drink one beer, you 1/10 drunk. I'm a good mathematician. I'm gonna throw it at you all night. See, you can say what you want to. There ain't no way you can rationalize social drinking. Not according to the Bible. When God said don't look at it, that's exactly what he meant.
Don't look at it. The end is destruction. The Bible says, and I read it to you, I'm going to read it one more time. Proverbs 23, verse 31 and 32. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. It giveth its color in the cup when it moves itself aright. Now notice what 32 says. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Alcohol kills the body. Alcohol will destroy your body. Alcohol will destroy your liver. Alcohol will destroy your heart. Alcohol will destroy your body. Alcohol will destroy families. How many families do you know today? I'm not calling any names, but me and Brother Dale know what exactly what I'm talking about right now. There was a family just a few weeks ago lost a family member that had been an alcoholic and a drunk for a long time. Hey, what it does, it not only destroys the body, it destroys the family, it destroys the children. I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you're gonna bring damnation to your own family if this is what you want to do. Alcohol not only destroys the body and destroys the family, alcohol destroys your testimony. It'll destroy your testimony. See, addiction develops gradually. No one plans to be an alcoholic. It's a progression. It starts off with a social drink. Then after a while, you're drinking regularly. Then after a while, you're dependent on it. Then after a while, you're addicted. I had an uncle. He went to the doctor, and he was having some problems, and the doctor said, well, you need to start drinking a beer every day. That'll help flush your kidneys. Well, that's all right for somebody that can drink a beer every day and stop there. They don't tell you that cranberry juice does the same thing. My uncle became an alcoholic. Because of a stupid doctor. And I said it right, a stupid doctor. What started out as trying to help the body destroyed the body. Folks, I'm just telling you, alcohol will destroy your self-control. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Alcohol controls you. Alcohol, the Bible, and I read it to you. I'm going to read a little bit more right now. Proverbs 23, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Now listen, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or that he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Y'all hear what that said? Alcohol controls you. In other words, what Solomon is saying in this proverb, he's saying, don't look on the wine. He said, it stings like an adder and it'll hurt you. It'll make you see. It'll make you behold strange women. In other words, there's been adultery happen because somebody was drinking alcohol. There's been things that's going on because somebody was drinking alcohol. And it goes on to say, it'll make you lay down in the sea. Yeah. I remember talking to Brother Scoopy. It seemed like every time me and Scoopy would come back from Monroe on Highway 200, there was one spot right there, and Scoopy always told me, said, preacher, he said, I got so drunk one night right there, I laid in the ditch. Notice what he said. They'll lay us down in the midst of the sea. He said, they have stricken me, they shall say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. How many times, and listen, I'm gonna put myself in this, and we got some folks in here that's in the past, you've not always been a Christian. You've drank, hey, on Friday night and Saturday night, I ain't never doing that again. Somebody say amen right now. Y'all let me know that I ain't up here by myself. I ain't never doing that again. And guess what? Amen. Next weekend, You're doing the same stupid stuff again. That's what alcohol will destroy your self-control. The Christians ought to let the Holy Spirit be in control of us. I mean, the Holy Spirit and alcohol are two different entities, and they're going to do their very best to work opposite of each other. Yeah. Alcohol leads to moral failure. I already read it to you. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. It lowers moral boundaries. How many sexual sins have occurred because somebody was drinking? Amen. How many marriages have been destroyed because somebody was drinking? Amen. Let me just give you a couple of biblical examples. Godly men, or so we thought. The Bible tells us about Noah. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21, after Noah, they got off the ark and they got everything settled, the Bible says in verse 21, and he drank the wine and was drunken and was uncovered in his tent. In other words, what happened was Noah drinks wine, Noah gets drunk, he lays out in his tent, one of his sons comes in and sees him, he goes back out and tells his brothers, they walk in backwards and lay a blanket over him, and that brother is cursed because of what his daddy did. And then you got Lot. You want to know a good scripture against drinking? Period. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Sodom and Gomorrah is probably still on fire. God has come down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God has come down and destroyed part of Lot's family. Lot's wife looks back. She's a pillar of salt already. Lot and his two daughters, two virgin daughters, get out there. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 32, this is what one of the daughters says. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. See, it sounds like a good plan. That ain't nothing but Satan. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. He was so drunk, he didn't even know it was his own child. How many children have been abused because the daddy was drunk? Don't give me no... I'm trying to be good. I told Miss Bonnie Sunday at the nursing home, I said, sometimes, you know, you just want to be a good Christian and slap people at the same time. I'm sick to death of Christians trying to tell me it's all right to have a social drink. Let me take you to the children's home and show you some of these children that's been abused because daddy got drunk. Verse 34, and it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. I'm trying to be... The Bible says Lot was a righteous man. I'll leave it at that. But Lot was so stupid, he knew his wife was dead. And still he did what he did. Why? Because of alcohol. Because of alcohol. Alcohol causes family destruction. Proverbs 21, verse 17 says this, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. It'll cause financial loss. Amen. Economic impact. The cost of excessive drinking is estimated at hundreds of billions of dollars in the United States, included but not limited to $179 billion in the workplace productivity losses. Think about that. I told you the story just the other day. It might have been this past Sunday of the preacher that married me and my wife talking about how he was such a drunk that he went in and took the presents out from under the Christmas tree and sold them so he could get alcohol. You think poker machines cause financial loss? What's alcohol done? Broken relationships. Listen to this. Family exposure. Approximately 43% of U.S. adults are exposed to alcoholism in the family. They've grown up, they're married to, or related to a problem drinker. Children impacted. Over 12 million children in the United States live with a parent with a substance abuse disorder. Alcohol being the most common substance. Intergenerational risk. Children of alcoholics are four times more likely to develop alcohol, become alcoholics compared to those without a family history. Abuse and neglect. A majority of children of alcoholics experience some sort of neglect or abuse. One in five adults grew up with an alcoholic parent. Marriage and divorce. One liter of alcohol consumed per capita increases divorce rates by 20%. Go ahead and have you a beer. Over 38% separated and divorced women have been married to an alcoholic. Violence, verbal abuse in marriage is up two times more likely if alcohol was consumed. Physical aggression is three to four times more likely when alcohol is consumed. So where's all our social drinkers at? Christians are called to be sober. And I know I'm preaching to the crowd tonight. I realize that. Christians are called to be sober. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Sobriety keeps us mentally alert. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. Y'all know I ain't always been a Christian. I ain't always been saved. I've tried to tell y'all. Some of y'all don't believe me, but I'm telling you. I remember, Adam, I remember drinking and riding down the road and my car swerving thinking, boy, you in trouble. You in trouble. A sober mind keeps you alert. And when we're alert, we see things better. Amen. Our reaction time is better. So Christians are called to be soberly minded. We can spot the enemy. See, and the thing about it is we know how Satan works. If Satan realizes what your weakness is, he's going to exploit it. If Satan knows that you're attracted to alcohol, guess what? Every commercial on TV, every time you ride by a billboard, every party you go to, everybody you talk to is going to be offering you alcohol. And if that's your vice, you're in trouble. Now listen, Christians should avoid being stumbling blocks. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby my brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Your life affects others. Your life affects others. People are watching us each and every day. You might be one that can take one beer and not drink another one. You might be one that can do that. But your friend next to you might have that addictive personality. And you're the one that caused him to stumble. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This was written to Christians right here. Galatians was written to Christians. The drunkenness is grouped with some awful sins. Murders, idolatry, adulterers, drunkenness is put right there in it. And remember what I told you about before. Don't even start the process. So we realize by studying the Bible that God takes this very serious. What's some warning signs of drinking that we might need to start looking out? When you start drinking more frequently. When you start drinking to get away from problems. When you need more alcohol to get the same effect. You in trouble. Feeling unable to stop. Trying to hide your drinking habit. I've seen it. I've seen it in church. These are signs of bondage. So what do we need to do? We need to avoid environments that cause this. Like I said before, if you got a problem with drinking, don't go by the bar room. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist. If you got a problem with drinking, get rid of some of them old friends you're running with. Amen? These are things that we need to do. Hey, have accountability. If I know I got a problem with something, I'm gonna get with, say, with somebody like Brother Robert. Say, Brother Robert, listen, I got a problem with drinking. I want you to call me every day. And I want you to talk to me every day. And you ask me every day. And you stay on me every day. You help me. Find a friend that you can talk to. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I remember preaching a message years ago in the brick building up there. Some of y'all probably remember this. And I was preaching on some of the habits that we have. And I somehow or another, I got on smoking. I don't remember. I got on smoking. I can't remember now. But I'll use alcohol tonight. Can you take that beer or that mixed drink and say, oh, Lord, bless this to the nourishment of my body? How stupid does that sound? Whatsoever you do, do for the glory of God. You say, preacher, you can't do that with chocolate cake either. Well, listen to this. Dallas, come on up here. Alcoholism is giving up everything for one thing. Sobriety is to give up one thing for everything. I read this. Alcohol is a perfect solvent. It dissolves marriages. It dissolves relationships. It dissolves friendships. And I'm not picking on Dallas tonight, but me and Dallas have talked a lot over the years. And I just wanted to give one testimony tonight to kind of drive this home. And I'm going to turn this mic on, brother.
Got me out of my comfort zone. For real. The statistics that you said are on point. My dad was a biker. He drank. My mom drank. Everybody in both sides of the family drank. It wasn't drinking, it was drugs. I don't know when it started. Probably in my early teens, 13 maybe. I was a baby. Everybody was older than me, but they looked after me. And they took care of me. But there was still alcohol involved with that. Marijuana, cocaine, all of it. Started out small. Maybe a caffeine pill. You had to graduate from that on up to something else that's stronger. I probably drank from 13 till I was 18, smoked pot all the way through high school, maybe even junior high. Left West Virginia in 84. Kicked up another gear then. Everywhere I went, I had to drink, I thought. But my problem was driving. I thank God I didn't kill nobody. Because for 20 years I drunk and drove. And just by the grace of God, I didn't kill nobody. So it will make you a liar. It'll make you don't never say never. Amen. Don't never say never. Because I've done all them nevers. Got my first, wrecked my motorcycle, got my first DUI. Passed out and wrecked it. Woke up in jail. Got another one. Same thing. It'll make you a liar. It'll make you a cheater. It'll make you gamble. It'll make you do everything that goes against him. So I got my third DUI. Locked up for probation violation, just lucky I didn't kill people in carloads of people. I figured if I had a carload of people, the law wouldn't want to take me to jail because it'd be too much paperwork. And I was right. But I could have killed six more people. To make it short, I thank God for my sisters. Shielded me from a lot of that stuff. I remember them taking me in their room and covering my ears up and stuff so I wouldn't have to hear that dysfunction of a divorce. I come through divorce. Go to court for my third DUI. I was a social drinker. Wasn't a binge drinker, I just drank every day. Couldn't see no point in drinking one. I drank until I heard the last call. I ain't doing that tomorrow night. Sure enough. You ready? I go to court and I'm sitting there. This is where it all turned. Preacher asked me a question up there. He said, when do you think it started? I couldn't tell him. I can't tell you. But it could have started when I was in the womb. You know what I'm saying? It could have been that deep. But I was an alcoholic. Let's get that straight. Amen. So, go to court and I'm sitting there, I walk in and there's a classroom of kids and I'm freaking out now. I'm going to be made an example today. Called my name and you got to get out in the middle just like I'm standing here. And she's going to ask you a question. How do you plead? Guilty. Can't lie. That won't work. He won't let it work. He said, be sure your sin shall find you out. He's done that to me too. 300 miles away from home, the phone rings, and I'm busted. Got to own up. Humility. So she calls me up to the table. And she says, I guess he knew what it was going to take to turn me around. She threatened me. She said, you know, today I could send you when you leave here to Raleigh State Penitentiary for drinking. You got me now. I said, what do I need to do? The light just flipped on. You got to go to AA. I worked AA. I tried it in denial for a while. That won't work. You got to come clean. You can't go forward if you're looking back. That was probably the hardest thing I ever did, was coming to the point where I had to stand in front of everybody and say, hey, my name's Dallas. I'm an alcoholic. The saying is, it works. It works if you work it. I worked it. So I've been alcohol free for probably 30 years now. Some things you don't need to know. Some things you can't unhear. Not, you know, some things you can't unsee. We was introduced to a whole lot of bad. I don't know whether I want to share this story or not, but it was part of the journey. Even people that you live with, and they don't know things because you chose not to tell them, because it never came up, and it don't need to come up until you feel led to let it out. Had a good childhood, played ball. But the home was toxic, wasn't it, sis? A lot of blood, a lot of fight, a lot of liquor, and a lot of everything. Tore up from the floor up. But, we got a big problem with Big Pharma right now. There's a big breakdown. Lack of compassion, a lot of lack of caring, and a lot of lack of discernment, lack of heart, lack of give a darn. People's just, we ain't getting it right. Like I asked you two Sundays ago, if you ain't coming to our Sunday school class, you need to come, because it's on fire. It just flows down here. I asked the preacher, I said, tell me something. What does clean look like? That's just something to think about. We like to pick and choose. I'm guilty. You know, the Bible says, he says, let your light so shine before men. Not who to shine on and where to shine and which one to shine. He says, just shine. But I learned in recovery, they try to get you to hang on to a word. It's called recovering. which means nothing's fixed, if that makes any sense. Recovering. How you doing? I'm still recovering. They don't like for you to go against the grain. But when he does it, because, you know, you got to choose your higher power. I chose God. I was raised in church a little bit. I feel like I got saved at a young age. I just went all to hell for about 20 years. But a friend of my wife's came down a couple weekends ago, and I was really trying, and I've been really trying. I've been going through some stuff for about 2 years. It's really been hard, and it's just hurt me physically and spiritually, and some things you just don't know how to process. But, I go on the back porch. I needed to hear it because I was really trying. You know what I mean? Trying to do better, trying to be a better dad, trying to be a better husband, which I'm not very good at the husband part. I try. I hope I am. We can say I love you. That's so nonchalant. I'm not good at that either. I try, though. And that girl, I walked up on the porch, and she said, "Your countenance looks good." I needed to hear that. She said, something's different. I said, "Yeah, I even feel different because I was really on a mission to and so it takes a lot of discipline to go through this journey without isolating. I'm good at that too. Building a wall. Nothing happens when you do that. She said something, and I said, because she was a social worker. Something brought on the conversation. I said, "I'm not recovering. I'm recovered." I like the way that sounds. I'm recovered. He took the taste out of my mouth. Slap out. To a point where I can walk in the store now and snatch up 2 18 packs of Coors Light and head towards the race. Put it back in the shelf. I remember you preaching a message. You said your goal when you get up is to just make him as mad as you can make. Amen. But, yeah, I was in pretty bad shape, but I thank God where he's got me and my sister. This is a miracle. This is a miracle for me to be standing here. It's a miracle. And we want to think they're big. It's little stuff. For me to even still be standing today breathing, it's a miracle. It had to be God.
Amen.
I mean, I've wrecked a motorcycle 3 times. Fell asleep up the interstate. Car wrecks. Whatever. It's got to be God. Because he loves us. He looked after me when I was lost. I just didn't have no communication. Because he created us. I had to tell my boss one time. He said, I pray, and you'll hear people. I pray all the time. I pray. I said, let me tell you, the Bible says he heareth not a sinner. The only prayer he's going to hear is a prayer of repentance unto salvation. Then you open the phone line. Until then, it's just going, doink, doink. Sounds good. I keep practicing, though. But he's been good to me. Something else you said. I remember telling this here probably 18 years. planned on being in South Carolina. Never planned on having no kids. Never planned on being married. Sure didn't plan on be standing on this carpet. Or up there. Or up there. Me? Wretched than I am.